Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 329 of Heroes Unlimited. We're in the magic section, and we've been discussing a lot of fanciful comic book crime fighter style magic. Mystic shields, lightning summoning, curses that knock out security cameras, many spells that hide things from sight. But not every player who chooses a magic user wants to be just another superhero, only with maybe a sash and fancy boots. Not everybody wants to be a four-color magical crime fighter. And why should you have to be? After all, here in Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition, the magic system has been updated to be compatible with all Palladium's other games. So, you know, Rift has badass magic users beyond the supernatural, certainly as spooky magic, likewise Palladium Fantasy. So, if you want to be a spooky wizard in Heroes Unlimited, then there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to. And this page offers, albeit fleetingly, to allow you to play the spookiest of all wizard types, the Necromancer, the Dread Necromancer, one of the strongest wizard archetypes, always a popular choice among a certain type of player. Heroes Unlimited doesn't have a ton for you. You know, it has some fear spells we've talked about. It's got a turn undead spell for all the good that'll do you in a game with mostly no undead in it. But it also has a spell found on this page, the first of the level 7 spells, Animate and Control Dead. I'm not a big Necromancer player, but I love the concept. I love the character archetype. I love to see it played well. I like to have it at the table with me. And as a fan of Necromancers, I am extremely disappointed at what this spell offers. Let's just go through it, because as it turns out, this character archetype, while technically supported in Heroes Unlimited 2nd, is pretty pathetic. First of all, this spell has a range of 400 feet and a duration of 5 minutes per level of experience. Already, our troubles are beginning. The bare minimum for effective necromancy is undead minions who can provide their own goddamn transportation. You can't be carrying lifeless corpses with you around everywhere you go. Number one, as a practical matter, corpses tend to draw attention to themselves. They're bulky, they're hard to move around. There are a lot of places, even in this enlightened age, where they won't let you take a corpse, like a fancy restaurant or an airplane. So if you gotta be carting corpses around with you and then turning them into zombies or skeletons or whatever on the spot when it's time for a fight, you're severely limiting the kind of crime-fighting life you can lead. Secondly, practical matters aside, being a necromancer is a lot about style, right? The black clothing, the dour expression, the trappings of death and magic in your dark den. This effect is somewhat disrupted by, like, pulling around a rickshaw full of dead guys. Also, it makes it seem like you're bad at your job. If he were a good necromancer, onlookers will think, those corpses would be carrying him, and they're right. It's not dignified. So, at a duration of 5 minutes per level, already, this is, like, not a good basis for a necromancer build. If you want corpses ready for you on hand to cast this spell, you know, you can raise them for 20, 30 minutes here or there, but for the most part, you're going to have to transport them around by other means, and that sucks. Anyway, on to the main body of the spell. Quote, with this incantation, the Arcanist can animate the remains of dead bodies, human, animal, or monster, and mentally control them like a puppet master would a marionette on strings. The remains are not alive and do not have any intelligence whatsoever. It is the sorcerer who controls and directs their actions. Strike two. I'm not looking for evil undead geniuses here. I'm not saying create vampire lords and liches and vengeful ghosts. Nobody wants that. Those spells sit dusty and unused in Dungeons and Dragons for a reason. The number of vampires, ghosts, or liches you would ever want to create are respectively 0, 0, and 1, maybe yourself. You don't want anybody competing with you to be like the mastermind of your little death magic troupe. However, you want some baseline level of intelligence, just a little bit, like even zombies. You know, zombies, you don't think of them as intelligent, but they know how to get what they want, or more to the point, what you want. You could point a zombie in a direction and say, hey, look, brains, go get them, boy. And then there goes the zombie. You don't have to micromanage it. These things you can create with this spell, they've got nothing. You control them completely. In fact, if they go out of your sight, then they can't do anything. You have to stand there and watch what they're doing and, like, tell them what to do at all times. Like you're a captain on Star Trek, a series that has the dumbest space battles of all time, as much as I love it, because you've got this one useless lump sitting there in a chair in the middle of a heated dogfight, yelling at the pilot and the weapons guy like, yes, chase him. Continue to chase him. Lock on target, then fire at the target. Now lock on target, now fire at the target. Remember, per Starfleet procedure, every individual button press must come directly from the top of the chain of command. No, you can't just keep flying without my verbal direction. This is not anarchy. That is not who we are, Lieutenant. That's what you gotta do to these undead that you can create. You gotta stand there and continually tell them to do the thing you want them to do, and watch them, and keep your eye on them, so they're like barely animated at all. Animated is a strong word for it. These are like remote control corpses. Let's say you've got enough of a hard-on for necromancy that you're willing, even though you gotta carry around corpses in a duffel bag or whatever, to the scene of your necromancy, and even though they have like no intelligence at all and you gotta like manually grab them by the scruff of the neck and go hold them in front of somebody and be like, fight him, continue to fight him, hit him with your rusty sword, go, go, go. And if you take so much as a second to like look away and check your watch, all your undead minions go limp. Even if you're willing to accept that, what kind of undead minions are we talking about here? Quote, each of the animated corpses or skeletons has two attacks per melee, a speed of 7, and inflicts 1d6 damage from punch, bite, claw, or blunt weapons. They are robot-like SDC structures and inflict SDC damage unless they wield a special weapon. Then there's a special note that the corpses you animate cannot use bow and arrow, crossbow, sling, or guns. So for combat, these things are garbage. They're slower than a regular person, which is to be expected. They have only two attacks per melee, which is like half as much as you get if you're a first-level character who's done self-defense training at the Y. On one hand, I appreciate that, because if we're going to have like a mob of minions for one player character, you want to keep their number of attacks down. But in terms of damage output, when you combine a really weak damage of 1d6 plus nothing, and you only get two attacks per melee, this is pretty piddly. How are they on defense? Well, they have no hit points, obviously, because they're not alive. For SDC, we get the following. SDC of a small corpse slash skeleton about 3 or 4 feet tall is 50 SDC. Medium, 5 to 6 feet, is 80 SDC. Large, 7 to 12 feet, is 140 SDC and 200 for giants. So the average size skeleton, 5 to 6 feet tall, 80 SDC, that's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. More importantly, where do they think that you're finding giant corpses? Like, this would be hard enough in a fantasy game, but it would be fun to go, you know, sneak into the giant graveyard and abscond with a big giant 200 SDC skeleton of some recently departed pillar of the giant community. But in Heroes Unlimited world, this is like the quest of a lifetime. It's so dumb. I'm going to pick it as the dumbest thing on this page, only because it's something I can actually be positive about. Even though it's dumb to give rules for animating giant skeletons in a game with, you guessed it, no giants, you know, in the sense of like monsters that are giants. They're giant superheroes, but there are no Jack and the Beanstalk style giants in Heroes Unlimited. But if you can find one, if you can just, I mean, in the whole magical, weird-ass history of this kitchen sink superhero setting, there has to have been at least one giant who lived in a tower in the sky, right? So if you can just find out where that motherfucker died and go dig him up, then you too could have a 200 SDC skeleton and be the envy of all the other shitty necromancers in your Heroes Unlimited game world. But yeah, generally speaking, because this is not a fantasy game, pretty much you're dealing with humanoid skeletons that are like 5 to 6 feet tall. Maybe you can get one 7 to 12 feet tall if you go animate an animal or, you know, Andre the Giant or whatever. And the SDC's pretty good. However, quote, the mage can animate and control only two corpses or skeletons plus one per level of experience. So, you know, while the SDC is good, the question is, do your enemies really need to get through it? Let's say you're mid-level. Let's say you're level 5. It's pretty impressive already, right? That's a relatively high-level character. You can animate 7 corpses. Given the kinds of enemies you're fighting if you're a mid-level superhero, how much trouble are your foes going to have getting around 7 unintelligent, slow, earthbound, 2 attacks per melee skeletons who only do things or move anywhere when you specifically tell them to? So the SDC is nice, but it's not like your enemies are going to have to chip through 7 warrior skeletons with 80 SDC apiece before they can take a crack at you. They'll probably just walk around the skeletons, right? There are a few other miscellaneous rules. It's about what you'd expect. Smashing attacks do full damage to skeletons and these like weird corpse puppets you can make. Fire does double damage. Arrows and bullets do half damage. Overall, what a disappointment. I wanted a necromancer. I wanted to raise my hands in an unholy gesture of magical power and have corpses rise up out of the earth and start shambling toward my foes, walking around, protecting me. I wanted some skeletons, yes. Some zombies, yes. Hey, maybe one immaterial undead. Maybe I could get a big gestalt uber skeleton to fight my really tough foes. Hey, I would have even liked a ghoul who's got like a little more intelligence, very hungry, might turn on me, but also might eat the shit out of my foes. So, you know, cost benefit. Do a little risk management in my necromancy power fantasy. Instead, what I get is basically a special version of telekinesis that is only used for flopping around corpses toward my foes like so many Muppets until either like 20 minutes elapse or I look away, at which point they'll just stand there doing nothing or flop over. And then if you know my hard-won corpses win the day, then I gotta like pack them in a steamer trunk or load them all in a wagon or cart and take them with me to my next necromancy engagement? Ugh, this is not what I signed up for. This is a glorified ventriloquist act. I want no part of this. The trouble is, this was never going to be good, because the space is too limited. What you need for a necromancer, unsurprisingly, is some goddamn stats for undead creatures. You know, if my thing is that I raise skeletons and ghouls and zombies, I need stats for those things, and there was no space here for that. So this necromancer archetype was never going to work with just one spell to its name. So maybe this shouldn't have been here. Which triggers my vow, and today, I've got just the thing. You know what should have been here instead of this abortive attempt at a necromancer? How about a full-blown attempt at an illusionist, a whole subcategory of magic user that was in Heroes Unlimited Revised and was cut for second edition? A whole character type. The illusionist had their own set of spells, most of which are still in this book, by the way. It's not like the illusion spells were cut, they were just thrown in the general population. They had their own little character creation blurb. They're mostly just like wizards, but they just know different spells, because they're like not full-blown wizards. They just know sort of tricksy spells. This would have been perfectly easy to implement. It would have been so easy. In the space this one spell takes up, you could have added to the magic power category just a little block saying, an illusionist is a special kind of mystic study character who knows only spells from the following list and is missing certain wizard specialties, but then gets the following skills like sleight of hand, palming, disguise, blah, blah, blah. Because that's really all it is in Heroes Unlimited Revised. I mean, it's a totally separate spell list, but in this case, since you're giving the mystic study character all these spells anyway, just give the illusionist a subset of those spells and slight modifications to their character type, and voila, you've got a whole other power category with an identifiable gimmick, a type of wizard. Just think, a flavorful subset of your magic user archetype. I would argue it was impossible to do justice to a necromancer in this space, but you really could have nailed it with the illusionist. You wouldn't have had to cut that at all if you had dropped this spell. Or if you were going to have this spell, you know, maybe don't nerf it so much. If these corpses that you animate were really undead, had some basic ability to like pursue a course of action, follow simple commands when unattended, and if you did the sensible thing and said that, you know, you've got a limit to how many you can create, but then they remain under your control indefinitely, rather than, you know, only 20 or so minutes at a time. As low as 5 minutes at first level, which is nuts. What do you do with three corpses for 5 minutes? Just those simple changes would have made this at least workable. But as it is, this is not necromancy. This is puppetry. Only the puppets reek, and if you get caught with them in your trunk, you'll get arrested. Oh, and by the way, on Blind Watch today, we've got a spell called Circle of Concealment that technically conceals things from view, thus the name, but it's not really comparable to the other spells. It belongs here. You know, if you were going to pick three of these 9 spells to include in the game, this would be one of them, because it's distinct from the others in a couple of ways. First of all, it creates an area of effectively invisibility. So it's like a stationary area you select rather than an effect on an individual person or item. Secondly, it's that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, somebody else's problem field type invisibility, where the magic prevents people from paying attention to what's in that area rather than making it invisible per se. But notwithstanding the fact that this spell does belong in the game, I am, if nothing else, a completist, so we do have to compare the mechanics in this spell to the mechanics for all the other concealment spells. In this case, that's pretty easy because the mechanics are missing. It would have been really nice to know, like, can you just stand in this field and shoot arrows or bullets out of it and leave your stunned victims totally defenseless, still psychically prevented from noticing that you've set up with, like, a machine gun and a crate of spare ammo in your little 20-foot invisibility area. And if you can do that, does the victim get penalties to dodge based on your invisibility? Or is this like a different kind of invisibility from individual, like tactical invisibility? We don't know. As with the spell invisibility, we can surmise what those mechanics might be by comparing to another power, in this case, the invisible haze psionic power. And if we compare the best fit missing mechanics for invisibility and the best fit missing mechanics for a circle of concealment, we find that they almost but not quite match. Invisible haze gives your opponents a -6 to initiative, which superpower invisibility does not. So, after a long and labor-intensive process of connecting the dots that requires a stupid degree of mastery of this book and its content, we find that the rules don't match. Surprise, surprise. So that's it for Blind Watch today. Join me next time as spells continue and we discuss a pet peeve of mine about a certain magic effect in role-playing games on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.